Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library Card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Thank you very much for joining us today. We're talking to Brian Fukuda from the Boys and Girls Club of Greater La Crosse, and we're talking specifically, he's the Director of Workforce Readiness, and we're talking about some exciting new developments in the Workforce Readiness Program that are coming, they'll be starting to build a new facility soon and all kinds of things that you probably read about in an excellent article in the La Crosse Tribune over the last week or so. And so I certainly would refer you to that article. But I'm very thankful for Brian's time today. Brian, welcome to Newsmakers. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the Workforce Readiness Facility. Eventually, we'll have the whole big conversation about what kind of stuff you do and all sorts of things. But to start with, what will the new Workforce Readiness Facility be like ultimately, like, you know, a year and a half or 2 years down the road when it's totally finished?
Sure. Yeah. So we're hoping starting summer 2025 that we'll have a fully operational Workforce Readiness Center addition to the Erickson Club here on the north side of La Crosse. And the facility that we're looking to build is we're looking at about a 15,000 square foot building. It will include some office space, but it'll be really geared, full of programming space for young people in the community to just dive in and experience different career paths and really help them to experience things and start to think about different careers that they may want to pursue in their future. And so we'll have an innovation lab, we'll have a construction lab, an entrepreneurship center, a media center, a health lab, all sorts of great space, great tools and technology and equipment that students and young people in the community will be able to put their hands on and just try different things and try to figure out what their path might hold.
So in rough terms, summer of 25, when are you going to break ground on that project?
So we're hoping to break ground by August of this summer. So we're kind of going through all of the steps. We'll be doing an RFP to engage a builder and all of that here pretty quick, hopefully, all with kind of the goal of breaking ground by August.
Now, as you've been planning this project, assessing needs in the community, looking at the capacity in your organization, the scope of the project, at least, you know, if I'm reading between the lines a little bit from the Tribune article, has already changed somewhat. You're building a facility that's almost twice as big as you had originally planned. How did that come about?
I think this all started with a task force that happened that La Crosse County had organized to just talk about the workforce challenges that our community is facing, you know, as well as, you know, pretty much every community across the country, I think, is facing those same workforce challenges. And so we started with conversation. I think we found that one of the big gaps that we see in just our workforce pipeline is in youth career exploration. And so out of that task force came the goal of having, you know, more opportunity for youth to do career exploration and do hands-on learning and things like that. The focus initially was really about skilled trades, understanding that, you know, as the county is interested in continuing to build tax base, and we're interested in continuing to keep our economy going and growing, that we need those skilled trade professionals to be able to build the infrastructure that we need. And that's a real deficiency right now, is we just don't have enough folks going into those fields And so that was the initial focus. As we started to get into this, we started to have a lot more community conversations with different industries, different community stakeholders, school districts, the technical college, our higher educational system, you know, all of these community stakeholders, and found that, you know, if we're going to do this, let's expand the scope a little bit. You know, even through the conversations with the county board, there was this realization that the county operates nursing homes, and they're having trouble finding healthcare professionals, and, you know, our hospitals are having those same troubles and those sorts of things. So from the, you know, really skilled trades focus to being much broader in career exploration for young people in the community. And so that's continued to grow the scope of the project, and therefore the space that's going to be needed to deliver the programming that needs to happen.
Between the resources that you have, that you've investigated in the community, the different business leaders and industry affiliated people, and this task force that you were part of, what kinds of different industries were represented in those conversations as you were sort of going through that ascertainment process of what needs exist in our community?
As I mentioned, we've met with school districts, we've met with higher education. I've met with a lot of the trade unions, met with business organizations, the Chamber of Commerce, the Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, the Upper Manufacturing or the Upper Mississippi Manufacturing Alliance, all sorts of industry groups and folks that are obviously really interested in the work that we're doing. You know, we're in a unique position where I think the Boys and Girls Club has such a tremendous relationship with young people in the community. And we've built that relationship through their adolescent years and into their teen years. And we have this trusted relationship. And so we really recognized that the Boys and Girls Club is in a position to really be a part of the solution in this regard. As I mentioned earlier, I think pretty much everybody is hiring right now. We just have this workforce shortage. And if we can, you know, if we can help solve that challenge for our community and our employers, I think, you know, the club has a long history of wanting to be a part of community solutions. And so that's where you've seen, you know, the services that we offer over the years really grow. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're headed, is really jumping into this space. Boys and Girls Clubs of America is really jumping into this space as well. And so you'll see this become a part of more and more clubs all across the country.
So this is, we've been talking for the last 7 or 8 minutes about this new yet to be built facility, but it didn't come out of nowhere. What does your workforce readiness program look like now at the Boys and Girls Club of La Crosse?
Sure. So at our clubs, we do, a variety of different things. But we have in the realm of workforce readiness, we do just some entrepreneurship programs. We do a speaker series where we bring in professionals from different industries to talk to kids. We do a career launch program that just helps kids to kind of explore their interests and their values and try to find careers that might be a good fit for them. We do a DIY STEM program in partnership with Trane Technologies, and where they design STEM activities for youth to do and you know, just see what their interest in that area might be. We've done a Women at Work event where we've engaged with some traditionally male-dominated fields to get young women on job sites and out in the community to experience what some of those fields might look like. We've participated with the La Crosse Area Builders Association on the Building Futures event and made sure that our kids have access to, you know, some of those great programs that exist within the community. And so We've been doing some of this, but, you know, obviously recognizing that we have the ability to really deliver a lot more and again, be a part of the solution for our community.
I remember when I was young and people would ask things like, well, what do you want to do when you grow up or whatever? There's so many things, like everybody has some idea of like big professions or like job titles that everybody knows. But like, there's so many things that, you know, I didn't even know that was a job. I didn't know somebody could make a living doing that thing or whatever. Have you gotten to experience as you watch young people come to the club every day and hear from some of these professionals in the community, or maybe get into their workspace and see what's going on? Have you gotten to see any of those light bulb moments as a kid is looking at a new skill that maybe they hadn't thought of before, and something clicks with them and they think, oh wow, this is exciting?
Yeah, you know, I personally, I've only been here for a couple of months, and okay. So I haven't gotten a lot of opportunity to do that, but I talk with our staff here and, you know, they've seen those moments, and, you know, that's what brought me here. Really. I was on the board. I was on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Lacrosse for a couple of years prior to accepting this position. So I've seen it through some of the other staff's eyes, and, you know, that's exciting. That's life changing. And so that's really what brought me here is the promise of those kind of moments. Because again, you know, I mean, I can't think of a better gift that we can give the young people in our community than to give them, you know, a fulfilling career path, that they can carry into adulthood and you know, really, again, you know, be a productive, happy member of our community.
Is this the workforce readiness aspect of it, the workforce development type programs? In your mind, does this is this a natural outgrowth of some other related programs that the Boys and Girls Club have? I mean, I'm wondering, of all the programs that the club has offered over the years, you know, how that growth is like, looking at, you know, the leadership skills that kids are learning in the athletic programs, the self-discipline that they're learning, creativity that they experience through like arts education and those kinds of things. How does that all kind of grow into, hey, we need to find a way to apply this directly to workforce training?
Yeah, you know, it really is, as you kind of indicated there, it's a real natural progression. I mean, the things that we're doing through our athletic programs, through our arts programs, through our just, you know, mentorship programs and things like that are really delivering a lot of those life skills or soft skills to kids already. And so now it's kind of this natural progression to help them kind of understand their strengths, understand their interests, and then, you know, and then connect them with that career path. And so that's the other thing I think, you know, we've seen as an organization, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America has seen, is that we do so many great things for kids through their adolescent years, into their teen years. But, you know, as they get older, they really start to kind of drift away from the club, because maybe they don't have to come to the club anymore, because they can stay home alone, or they can, you know, kind of do their own thing. And so that's part of this as well, is that's a time that, you know, we hate to see those kids drift away from the club, because they can we still provide that positive mentorship and relationship. But there just isn't as much for them to do when they're here. And so through this career readiness programming, I think we're going to keep kids engaged through those teen years and really, you know, help, you know, mentor them and get them to a positive future. And so that's, you know, part of our mission as an organization. And this is, I think, really going to fill a gap that, you know, and really deliver that final gift to kids where, you know, we've done a lot for them in their early years, but, you know, we want to keep that relationship going and really get them to adulthood.
You talked about the age range that you're kind of targeting a little bit in that process. What else, like who else is your prime candidate for this workforce program? Is it geared at people who you think might be more inclined to, you know, immediately following high school enter the workforce, or are you looking for like kids that are not necessarily destined for a four-year university program, or who's the target here?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all of those things. I mean, we'd love to, you know, I think it's trying to find that fine line between helping kids find and pursue their interests and then also understanding the community needs. And so, you know, where we can make those connections with kids that are interested in, you know, getting right to work after high school, or, you know, or maybe pursuing a certificate program or a two-year degree. We want to get them connected with those opportunities right away. You know, if a kid's, you know, on a career path that's going to require them to get a four-year degree or a graduate degree, then we just want to connect them with the right resources to make sure that they can follow that goal and that dream as well.
We're talking to Brian Fukuda. He's the Director of Workforce Readiness for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. And you're listening to it on Newsmakers. If you are missing part of our conversation, or you want to hear this episode again after it's over, or perhaps you just want to check out on demand any of the other conversations that we've had throughout the years, you can find them all on our website, which is WPR.org. Just click the shows button and look for Newsmakers there at WPR.org. Our conversation with Brian will continue in just a moment here on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studio on the campus of UW La Crosse. I'm grateful to be joined by Brian Fukuda, the Director of Workforce Readiness at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. Brian, a moment ago we were talking about sort of that target demographic that you're looking for, and which of those teens that are getting ready to think about the rest of their life and what skills they might need to get there and accomplish their goals. What are some of those most important skills to teach the kids that you're going to be running through this program?
You know, I think it starts with, you know, we call them soft skills or life skills or, you know, those sorts of things. It's, you know, your basic just communication skills, etiquette, you know, those sorts of teamwork, things like that. And so, again, we're constantly working on those sorts of things in all of our programming. But I think then where this career readiness will take it to the next level is really giving them the hands-on opportunities to develop, you know, real skills that they can take into the workforce and turn into a career. And so, you know, it's starting with those soft skills, but then helping kids find those career paths and then get those hands-on opportunities to you know, explore different things and build different skills and connect with different community resources is the other piece. I think, you know, we have great resource in the community, but sometimes it's hard for kids to find those things. And so we want to try to make those connections.
How do you go about planning the communication about workforce opportunities with kids? It's fair to say the coming generation of workers, the emerging generation of workers, has some very different expectations about work-life balance and about just how jobs ought to work. That, you know, I think people my age make fun of them a lot, but really, I think some of that is, you know, like maybe jealousy that I didn't stand up for myself earlier in my career or something like that, because some of these kids have a very appropriate perception of what employers ought to be able to expect, and yet sometimes it might be a little bit unrealistic. How can you communicate with them about, like what they should expect entering the workforce, but in a way that makes them still excited to do so.
That's the trick, right? Is, I think work-life balance is important. And, I don't think anybody's wrong to demand that in their life. But at the same time, I think understanding, helping young people understand that in order to have that work-life balance, you have to have the work part of it as well. And so, I think that's important. And so just, I think that will also come naturally as you're able to, as we're able to help kids find careers that really interest them. And so that's where we start this work is, helping students to understand what their values are and what their interests are and what they're good at and what, brings them joy. And then, I guess it's the old saying that, if you love what you do, you've never worked a day in your life. And so, it's trying to help them find what makes them happy and helping them, accomplish that through a career, I think will go a long way to, kind of solving that issue. A lot of the statistics and things that we've seen, a couple that stick out in my head is that there are over 4.5 million young people in this community that are not in school and do not have a job. And at the same time, we have every employer out there is hiring and struggling to find the workforce that they need. And so, we need to make those connections. But I think to the previous point, I think it starts with understanding what young people are interested in, and then helping them develop the skills to pursue a career in that.
Let me ask you to clarify that statistic that you just said, because the number isn't resonating with me. You said 4.5 million young people in this community.
In the country.
Okay. Okay. That makes more sense now.
If I said community, I apologize. It's 4.5 million people in the country that are not in school and don't have a job.
You think back to, I hate to be the old guy. You think back to like our grandparents' generation, that would have been unheard of. That somebody, even somebody in high school, wouldn't have some sort of employment outside of that. But it just speaks to how even society's ideas about kids in the workplace and what should be expected of kids is changing, because you see so many more parents now who are saying, hey, look, my kid, until they graduate high school, their job is to be a student and to get good grades, because that's what's going to set them up for their future. The parents that are involved in a program like this, or the families that you communicate with, what's their response to maybe having these extracurricular programs for students that are very, very job related? Have they been supportive of those ideas?
So far, I think we've seen a lot of support from parents that I think more and more people are starting to realize that, maybe, not everybody needs a four-year degree to have a successful, happy life. And so, I think parents are starting to see that as well, and are starting to, recognize that, they need to, again, help their kids to find careers that are going to be, fulfilling for them. I often share, I have a nephew who's like in his mid-20s and has a 2-year degree from Western Technical College, and he's making more money than I am right now. And so, he's killing it, and that's great. And I love to see that. That's a testament to the fact that, when I was coming out of high school, it was just, the question that was asked was not, what do you want to do? What are you good at? Whatever. It was, where are you going to go to college? And that was the only question. And now I think people are recognizing that that's not the only path. It's still a solid path. And, we'll still need plenty of people to pursue 4-year and graduate level degrees and all of that. But it's not the only path. And I think there's been a pretty good shift to help people recognize that.
Well, tell me about your background. What led you here? What experiences have you had that prepared you for this work in workforce development?
That's a good question. I ask myself that every day, but I don't know that I'm uniquely qualified other than my past. I was the community development manager for La Crosse County for 17 years. And so I've been engaged in work that helps to improve our local economy, work with businesses to understand their needs and help them to grow and sustain within our community. And so I have a lot of connections within the business community, and I've worked with them over the years to really understand the needs. And obviously, at this point, the biggest need is workforce. And so been doing a lot of work and study of that issue. And then, as I referenced before, I was on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Clubs here in La Crosse for a couple of years. And so I have a real passion for just helping kids, develop opportunities for kids. And so that's kind of where my paths or where my interests merge is that I have a real interest in building a strong local economy, and I have a real interest in developing opportunities for kids. And so those passions merged into this position, and thankfully the Boys and Girls Clubs recognized that and offered me the job. So
well you mentioned earlier concept of career exploration, the opportunity to kind of get in a space where some of the maybe the tools of the trade are available for people to put their hands on and get that firsthand experience with how to operate some of those things. As you build this new center that hopefully will break ground this summer, what are some of those opportunities that you're hoping to provide? You quickly listed a few of the industries that you want to make sure are included. Can you go into greater depth about a couple of those?
So as we're designing the space, we have looked at being very flexible with the design of the space. And so having retractable walls and overhead doors and, opportunities to break the space into smaller chunks. But also open the space up to run larger programs and really do programming in a wide variety of different areas. However, as we're kind of scoping this out, we've termed one of those spaces an innovation lab. That'll be a space where there will be 3D printers, inkjet printers, robotics, CNC machines. There'll be simulators, virtual reality headsets, things like that, that kids will be able to experience a wide variety of different activities and opportunities again to kind of put their hands on, make something, and do something that's creative and that sort of thing. We'll also have a construction and automotive lab space. So again, very flexible space, but there'll be an overhead door access from the outside to bring larger pieces of equipment in, larger materials in, and then we'll have power tools, hand tools, hopefully welding equipment, a laser cutter, those sorts of pieces of equipment that we would be able to do programming in that construction and automotive type of careers. We have a health lab that will have first aid and medical equipment where students can start to learn about careers in healthcare. We've included an entrepreneurship center, which will largely look like a traditional classroom where we can do financial literacy programming, entrepreneurship programming, business management programming, that sort of thing. We have a media center space where we'll have have computers and video equipment, and hopefully a green screen wall and things like that, that students can start to experience media and creative careers in that realm. And so, again, just a lot of space that we'll have that will be flexible, but we'll have state-of-the-art tools and technology that kids can really start to explore lots of different career paths.
We're talking to Brian Fukuda from the Boys and Girls Club of Greater La Crosse, and we're talking about workforce readiness, especially as you might have read in the La Crosse Tribune this week, some developments upcoming in August, I think, hopefully breaking ground on a new workforce readiness center that'll be completed and open the following summer, the summer of 25. And we're talking about what kinds of programs might exist in that space that are coming to our community and what needs that will fill. If you'd like to offer a comment on this program or perhaps ask about something that you'd like to see in the community and want us to look at on our show, you can reach out to us anytime via email. Our email is newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our program continues right after this, here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. Thank you very much. We're talking, continuing our conversation with Brian Fukuda, the Director of Workforce Readiness for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. Brian, we've been talking about the programming that you're hoping to offer. Sounds really wonderful, and the space sounds just perfect for it. I'm wondering now, who were the models for this program? Where'd your inspiration come from as you came up with this idea? Are there Boys and Girls Clubs or other organizations that you're familiar with who do this kind of work already?
Yeah, great question. We've, as I mentioned earlier, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America has really started to put a real emphasis on this life and career readiness programming. And so we've started to see some clubs already, even within the state of Wisconsin, add workforce readiness centers. And so we've been very fortunate to have some models to follow. The Hendricks Career Tech facility down in Beloit has been awesome to work with. They've been doing this actually for a couple of years. They have a similar space, a little bit smaller space than what we're looking at, but they've been able to do some incredible programming down there to get kids engaged in career paths and that sort of thing. They do a CNA training program out of that space. They have construction club and innovation club and robotics, and they offer, I think, 20 to 25 career academies throughout the summer months where kids can explore different career paths. They have a really strong partnership with Black Hawk Technical College down in that community. And so, just a really great model for us to be able to follow. There's also the McKenzie Workforce Center in Madison is part of the Dane County Boys and Girls Clubs. And they're recently up and running just last year. But they're very focused in the skilled trades, but have incredible partnerships with their area skilled trades businesses. And they're doing great work to do pre-apprenticeship programs. And they do some entrepreneurship programming and things out of that space as well. And it's just a beautiful facility with great technology and tools and all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, we're really fortunate to have some great models to model after. I think our unique opportunity here is that those are both standalone Boys and Girls Club facilities, that they're workforce readiness facilities that are part of the Boys and Girls Club network. But for us, we're actually doing an addition onto an existing club. And so we'll have all the kids that are here at the the Erickson Club on the north side of La Crosse will have immediate direct access to the Workforce Readiness Center. And then we'll have a network of vans and transportation linkages where we'll be able to connect kids from all of our clubs throughout the county. So the kids up at the Scogan Club in Holman, the Brennigan Club in West Salem, the Matthew Club on the south side of La Crosse, and soon the John and Linda Licky Club in Onalaska will all have access to this facility, and we'll be able to get kids from those clubs right here to the Workforce Readiness Center. And consequently, we'll also, using that transportation system, we'll be able to get kids out. And the Brennigan Club has a full teaching kitchen, and so we can do culinary programming out there. There's some space that's some unfinished space behind the Scogan Club where we'll be able to hopefully finish out some space there to add to the network of workforce readiness as well.
So this facility that we've been talking about isn't the end of the story. You really are hoping to expand this to basically in some fashion to what do you have, 5 clubs now?
We currently have 8 club locations. There's the main clubs that I mentioned, and then we also have some school-based clubs.
Okay.
That are just smaller footprint within some elementary schools throughout the community. So and in some neighborhoods, but our main clubs, we currently have 4 with the 5th coming on board in 2025 as well, in partnership with the Onalaska School District. And so again, we'll really be taking advantage of the space that we have within those clubs to offer workforce readiness programming, but then really, trying to get those kids working, to get those kids here to make sure that they have access to the Workforce Readiness Center that'll be here on the north side of La Crosse. All in all, we have over 1,000 kids that come through our door every day. And so we have tremendous access to kids, and we're just looking forward to connecting all of those kids with the opportunities to explore different career paths.
So your new plan involves serving Boys and Girls Club members, of course. The Tribune article that I read referenced expanding these programs to include the broader community. How does that look?
Sure. We have great partnerships with all of our school districts. And so, working in partnership with them to make sure that this space isn't just an after school space, that it's an opportunity for kids from across the county to, we can bring field trips in, do, hands-on learning opportunities for kids during the school day as part of a field trip. We'll connect with different schools that we could welcome in during the day to do various programming. Obviously, we're immediately adjacent to Logan High School, so there's going to be opportunities, hopefully, to get Logan High School kids into the space during the school day as well. But then it goes further than that. Obviously, our mission and our goal is to provide opportunities for kids. But due to some of the funding sources and some of the opportunities that we have through community partnerships, the space will also be available for other community partners to come in and do training and things like that, during the school day when kids aren't necessarily in the space. We're really excited to partner with other organizations to make sure that this facility is being used to the maximum it can to really serve the community in a powerful way.
You mentioned one of the programs that you drew a certain amount of inspiration from offered even as much as a CNA type program. To what extent? Where in the educational ladder, so to speak, do you see your biggest impact? Should people look at this as a stand-in for some sort of technical education, or is this more of like a precursor to something like a vocational program like you might experience at Western or somewhere else?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that we're really working hard to find the answer to that. You know, we don't want this to be something that's duplicating something that already exists in the community, or something that's stepping on toes of something that already exists in the community. We're really working to make sure that this is a part of that career pipeline. And so we're meeting with all of those community partners. I think there's a real niche in providing hands-on learning opportunities for middle school age kids. I think we want to do some opportunity for younger kids just to start to think about, you know, career opportunities and options. We'll probably really ramp up in that middle school age range where we're, you know, getting kids opportunities to start to think about their path through secondary and then post-secondary education and into a career. And then we'll continue to serve kids through high school, but really in partnership with school districts and technical colleges and universities and things like that, where I think our school districts are doing a much better job of really ramping up a lot of their vocational programming and, opportunities for career academies and apprenticeships and things like that through the high school. And so, again, we're really trying to work with them to position ourselves as a piece of that pipeline, but not, you know, stepping on toes or duplicating things that others are just going to be stronger at. And so that's the beauty of a long history of partnership that we have, we work hand in hand with our school districts and our technical college and all of these organizations. So we're in a really good position to make sure that we're adding value.
Talk to me about Boys and Girls Club membership. What costs are affiliated with that? If people are not if people's kids are not members right now, how do they become members of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the La Crosse area?
They just need to sign up. We will never let finance become a barrier to kids being a member of this organization. We exist to deliver opportunities for kids, and funding is just not going to be a barrier in that. And so kids just need to sign up. They need to join, and we're interested in serving every kid in the community. And so there's a common misconception that that Boys and Girls Clubs are for, you know, kids of low to moderate income, or, you know, of kids that really have a high degree of need. The Boys and Girls Club is for everybody. Every kid deserves a happy childhood, and we're here to help deliver that. And so, we're grateful for the opportunity to just serve kids and provide them with those opportunities for healthy, happy childhood.
And what about if people are interested in supporting your work, either drawing attention to it or becoming involved in it as volunteers or financial supporters or whatever?
Sure. Yeah. We'd love to talk. One thing that I was hoping to touch on, and so this question is great, is our programming model is really programming through partnership. And so we are working every day to connect with businesses, to connect with industry organizations, because we're not envisioning a huge staff that's going to be here to deliver programming to these kids. This is a community facility, and we're looking for opportunities to partner with employers in the community, to partner with, as I said, trade organizations and others to, you know, get them in the space to really connect directly with kids and deliver quality opportunities for those young people to not only build skills, but also create that connection to a local business and our local economy, because that's a part of this as well. Is we want to keep those kids local. We want to keep, you know, make sure that the kids understand really what, you know, what exists in our community. I know when I was a kid, I had no idea what was built here, what was done here, the businesses that existed here. I mean, outside of kind of my family and where they worked, I didn't have a clue, you know, what happened here. And as I got older, And then as I, you know, got into my career at La Crosse County, where I had an opportunity to work, you know, with a lot of businesses in this community, man, there's some really cool stuff happening here, but I had no idea when I was a kid. And so, you know, our goal is really to help kids in this community understand all of the really cool things that happen here and how they can be a part of it.
So really, if people have been listening to our conversation today, if somebody's involved in an organization and says, oh, well, I didn't hear them talk specifically about it, so I guess they're not interested in training people for the industry that we work in. That's exactly who you're looking to talk to, really, is somebody who can help you develop a program that helps fill a need that exists in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to be responsive to community need. And that's, that requires partnership. I certainly don't know everything and all the needs that exist out there. And so we're really relying on the community to help us shape the things that will happen within this Workforce Readiness Center.
Well, and it makes perfect sense too, because I guess you could teach people to be, you know, widget makers all day long. But if the community has if the economy has an overabundance of widget makers and not enough positions for to put all of them to work, then all these people have to learn how to do something else anyway. So I guess it works out well that way. Tell me where people can find more information about the Boys and Girls Club.
So they can certainly go to our website. So bgclax.org is the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse.
Say that one more time. You glitched, or I bumped a microphone or something while you were saying that.
Sure. It's bgclax.org is our website. And so, jump on there and check out all the incredible programming that we offer for kids in the community. My contact information is on there. I'd be happy to connect with folks that see a need and a way that they'd like to tap into the work that we're doing here.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I know it may be unfair because I know your workforce readiness is your particular bailiwick, but also you were a board member before, so you're broadly familiar with the organization. What else is going on at the Boys and Girls Club that you're particularly excited about?
As I said, I have a passion for creating opportunities for kids. And so we are constantly growing our sports and recreation programming. There's a lot of incredible things happening there to give kids opportunities to get active and stay active and live healthy lifestyles. We have really ramped up our mental health programming. So we have mental health professionals in partnership with Mayo Health System directly within our clubs. And so especially I think coming out of COVID, we have a lot of kids that are just dealing with a lot of challenges in that regard.
Yeah.
And so we're really trying to get ahead of that. And so we've really amped up that as well. We have great academic success programs, our Be Great Graduate program, where we have professionals right within the La Crosse high schools to help kids stay on path to graduate and finish up high school. We have great arts programs where we have a guitar academy, violin lessons in partnership with the La Crosse Symphony Orchestra. We have dance lessons, art programs, all sorts of things. So, as I said, our mission is to make sure that every kid has the opportunity for a healthy, happy childhood. And so, we're doing it all. And so, it's certainly a privilege to be a part of this organization. And I would encourage everybody to jump on that website that I mentioned and check it out, because I think a lot of people have maybe a misconception that the Boys and Girls Club is, you know, they might have been exposed through a sports program or something, and they might think that's all that the Boys and Girls Club does. But man, we've certainly grown over the years, and we're providing a lot of great resource for kids in our community. And again, I think that's having a huge impact on so many things within our community to make sure that we have a healthy community. It starts with childhood, right? And so we got to get it right.
Brian, give that website one more time.
It's bgclax.org.
Brian Fukuda is Director of Workforce Readiness for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. Brian, thanks so much for joining me on Newsmakers today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ezra. It's been a pleasure.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. There are a couple of opportunities each week to hear our program. We're on Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network, 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music, 88.9. And we're always online at the all-new version of our website, WPR.org. I hope you'll join us next time for another Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. We'll see you next week on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you.